Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. The Corolla Drinks Midsummer Beach Party, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes. Loxy. The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. The beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble. You couldn't tell by now. Headlines the Corolla Drinks Midsummer Beach Party. July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit adamcarolla.com. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news and your calls in a segment of Q&As. Plus, a visit with Sonny Carolla and now... Lynch wrote a bad pun about Maria Menounos' luau and Adam getting laid. But I'll send her saving the embarrassment. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share, because when you share the show, then we're able to pay our bills. And one of the guys we have to pay for is here today, Sonny Carolla. Good to see you, Sonny.
Hi.
And Gina Grad.
Hi.
Now,
it's very exciting.
Bull Brine, not in the house, and that's because he's out of town.
Is he a travel writer now on the side, or what's up?
He's a seeker of pleasure.
Mm-hmm. He lives out of a suitcase now.
He literally just goes somewhere fun every weekend, and I am having to leave for New York tomorrow to go to do Match Game, which is frightening for me.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Z-Clip first. Use the promo code Adam. Get 15% off at zclip.com. Simply Safe as well. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam and Dollar Shave Club. Love these guys. DollarShaveClub.com.
And you're going to do Match Game with America's Alec Baldwin.
America's Alec Baldwin. Because I have to write and spell things on TV, which is the biggest... nightmare ever. The biggest nightmare for me was I never learned to read or write. That's all I read. That's all I care about. Sonny, how much do I care about you and your school?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll say a -5.
-5. I'm a -5.
It's good math.
Okay. So, but I do say these guys need to read and write.
Right.
That is
to get through life.
You know what's kind of weird? They almost lump reading and writing in with everything else. Like, you need math, right. You need history, you need geography,
yep.
Interpretive dance, you know, social studies, government. Like, you need to know. And it's really like, no, you don't really need to know anything, but you do need to read and write.
Yeah.
All the other stuff you can find on an IHOP placemat or whatever. Like, oh, you need to memorize the presidents, and we need
right.
all... we need all the capitals and all. It's like,
you'll
it's
never
all,
need it.
It all, it falls under the, that's nice.
Yeah.
It all falls under the heading of, oh, I play the piccolo. Okay, good for you. But you don't need it.
Correct.
You know,
but
like,
you don't need the piccolo to get through life. You do need to read and write.
You need the reading and writing. And really what we should be doing is focusing 80% on language, vocabulary, punctuation. Mm-hmm. There's all the things you need to be able to sort of cobble together. How about just getting up being an orator? How about standing up in front of a group, making a presentation to clients or whatever it is?
Absolutely.
The you want to do a TV show, or you you're either pitching a TV show, or you have an investment idea, or you're trying to start up a company, you got about 5 minutes in the room. If you're not good, like, I know guys that aren't very good in the room. The idea is great. They're just not
They'll
that good in the
there.
Room. They'll never get there. And then some people are great in the room,
right.
Get everything done. So,
all sizzle, no steak. You actually kind of stumbled into the worst career you could possibly stumble into, given that you don't read and write.
Right. So once I got out of high school without being able to read or write, and then with the crazy, not being able to read or write, half of it's mechanical, and then the other half is emotional. Half of it is I just can't physically read or write very well. Like I'll tell you who I was. If I was to spell something out, like if I was to go, that's simply safe. That's S-I-M. Like it would be slow and hard if I was right. reading it,
doing it in live time.
Difficult to say it out loud. And then the other half is an emotional side, like don't like that.
Is it puree or puree?
Fat kids playing sports. You know what I mean? Like yeah. they don't want to play when they're adults. They've had enough.
Yeah, traumatized.
They get out of there. So I got as far away from reading and writing as I could, which is a construction site. And for the next, 12 years, it was like, none of that.
Right.
Done. And then I got into radio and people started handing me pieces of paper going, just read it.
Rip and read it right now.
Read it in the mic. Look, forget about right now. You'd hand me a piece of paper the night before and tell me to read it the next day, and it would still be a big right. psychological struggle.
So how's this one with the reading and writing?
Sonny, how are you with the reading and the writing?
Pretty good. Language arts is my best...
can't think of the word.
Subject.
How are you... how you doing? I've seen some of your projects.
Yeah.
A lot of that looks mailed in. It's
There's
not
a
the
sweet
great.
Domino.
Here's a bad sign. It's a bad sign when I can walk in your classroom and go, let's see, which project is my son's? And then I go, I could try to read all the names, or I could just go straight to the crappiest project, and that'll be my son's.
Damn.
That's sad.
Shots fired.
You're lucky.
It's very true. But
it's true. Why? Is it just a waste of your time?
No, I'm just, like, with all the projects, you need to do something artsy, and that's, I'm absolutely terrible at that. I cannot draw anything. I cannot do anything like that.
How about your blank domino tile?
Okay, I only had an hour to do that because someone else, not going to name names, ruined my scale model. They ruined it. They stepped on it, and they ruined it, and it broke. And I only had 1 hour, so I chose to do a blank domino, or else I would get an F.
That domino took an hour.
What was your... what'd you do with the other 57 and a half minutes? Wait a minute. Who stepped on your... What was your scale? You didn't do any scale model.
Yeah, I did. It was a Rubik's Cube.
Ooh.
I did a Rubik's Cube, and then someone stepped on it and broke it, and I was about to finish it, and then I couldn't... And then after my teacher was like, okay, well, tomorrow you only have an hour.
Well, let me ask you this, Sonny. The whole model plan was you take something that's the size of a pack of matches or a Rubik's Cube, and you make it the size of a end table. How could somebody step on your giant Rubik's Cube?
It's like the size of a normal box. It was a box. It's a box.
You know what? I would eliminate. You know what my rule would be if that was my edict where I was saying, hey, everyone's doing a project. Mm-hmm. No square edges. I want everything with a radius because the biggest cop out in the world is everyone just goes get a box.
U-Haul box.
They just get a box. Yeah. They go, well, what are we doing? Doing a pack of cigarettes. Go find a box that looks like a pack of cigarettes. We're doing a Rubik's Cube. Go find a box, it looks like, and then have somebody just grit it off and paint it. Mm-hmm. Done. Mm-hmm.
You got off lucky, Sonny.
So somebody, who stepped on your Rubik's Cube?
Some kid.
Some kid, you don't want to out him?
Some kid
that you live
with? Some kid. Mm-hmm. Some kid I don't want to eat with, exactly.
You don't want to out him? All right. No. And now it's onward and upward and onward to the seventh grade?
Mm-hmm.
You into it?
Yeah. It's a new school. It's going to be cool.
Going to a new school. How about you and me going out of town for a car race? First week of school.
Oh, was it called Monterey?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Wait, you're going to miss the first week of school?
Yeah. I always, at the beginning of this year, I went to the first 2 days, and then I missed the rest of the week.
And did the teachers tell you that you'll never catch up if you miss the first week of school?
No.
Okay, that's
but
good.
I never did.
Oh.
Okay. He never does. He's a bad. Sonny, you're not a good student, right? No. What's the plan?
Not the best at math. I'm good at mental math, but they're always like, show your work. Then I can't do that. I'm really bad at that.
We went to, a lot of stuff to catch everyone up on. I went to Maria Menounos' party.
The luau.
The luau. Stallone was there.
What?
It was hot. I like Stallone because Stallone does two things. When you talk to Stallone, he punches his fist. He literally, he's like a crime boss from the 40s. They're like, we got to get those campaigners, you see? Yeah, listen to me, fellas. Now listen. He's like, smacks his. He's 70-year-old awesome. Dude. So he just punches himself in the fist. He has one open hand and one fist, and he just punches it. So I told Stallone I had a dream that I shadowboxed for him. But I meant for him, not at him. I meant like I just stood and shadowboxed. You can tell the most, as I've said, about a guy's boxing ability by shadowboxing. If you said to me, Adam, you must assess this person's ability to fight. Ah, you are going to fight this person. And there's five people. Mm-hmm. And you want the weakest person so that you don't get hurt.
Right.
But you can only have them do one activity for 10 seconds. What would it be? I would say shadowbox. Let me watch them shadowbox.
What is it about that?
Can't fake shadowbox. Can't fake shadowbox. Watch all bad movies. Oh, no. Watch all boxing movies. Watch all boxing movies. Can't shadowbox in the boxing movie. Right. They can do all the scenes, all the boxing scenes. They can edit and a partner, and they can hit and put the sound effect in and stuff. Watch Pete Berg in The Great White Hype. It's like, look. Oh, he looks like Charles Nelson Reid, like in the corner, like, hey, hey, hey. Like, when they're getting in the ring, the actor always tries to, they never.
That makes total sense when you put it
like that.
They
never look right. So I was like, I got a shadow box for Stallone, but what happened is I found myself facing him.
Oh.
Then I realized it was on. Oh, hold on. I got my lay on, so it makes it official. First,
sweet fancy shirt.
And Sonny's got a sports report too, right, Sonny?
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about?
What the future of the NBA might be.
Oh,
all
wow.
right, robots.
Okay. Besides that,
all right, Sonny, how'd you rank in the comedy rankings of your class? You got
well, not first, but. Mm.
You got yourself in the top 20?
Top 15.
Top 15?
Well, I don't know where to rank myself because...
He has Asian, Indian kids and women above him.
Oh,
God.
No.
People might think that's close-minded, but at that age, there's not a lot of... Sarah Silverman's not Sarah Silverman when she's in the fifth grade. You see what I'm saying? That's a male-dominated sport, the class clown.
Of course. Later on,
it starts to kick in.
You can mix it up a little bit.
Well, get out there.
I have, humor that kids don't understand. Like not
That
like,
I believe.
I'm not like a clown humor. I'm not going to like throw a ball at myself or something.
Yeah, you're saying it's not a class clown.
I'm not a class clown.
He's
I'm
stealthy.
A class comedian.
Yes!
I'm a class comedian, but
Everybody,
they don't have that.
Yeah, but no one else understands it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid that won class clown is the clown of the class. He's a literal clown.
He's a clown, right. Yeah. You don't want to get down there in the clown sandbox and roll around with him, get some clown cooties on you.
No.
Yeah. You're like a Garrison Keillor type.
Well, I don't know. He's my friend, but...
He's Asian, he said.
Yeah, he's Asian.
I'm telling you, man, they're taking over.
Oh yeah,
it started with just we'll do the dentistry and we'll do the mechanical engineering. They're getting into clowning and basketball now. That's like our territory. I'm saying that's American.
Left.
That's American stuff. These guys are spreading out big time. All right, let me tell you about Z Clip, and then I'll clown around with Stallone. Z Clip. Get your dad or grad the gift that no one else has, Z-Clip. Well, I have it. Not your grandfather's money clip. It has RFID protection, keeps your money and credit cards and identity safe. Choose carbon fiber or carbon steel, completely flat, no hinges or magnets. Holds up to 8 credit cards and 15 bills. Plus, it's has a card holder included. You get your Z-Clip customized with your name, initials, or logo, whatever you like on there. Visit zclip.com. Click the podcast mic. Use the promo code Adam. Get what I have over here. I love this thing. And always great traveling. Nice move. When I go through the airport tomorrow, I'm going to pull that thing out and slap it right in the bin.
Power move.
Look at that TSA and go, what are you making now? 14 an hour? 15? Step up to a Z-Clip, man. Z-Clip.com. Get 15% off. Perfect graduation gift for the grads or Father's Day. Sonny, what are you getting me for Father's Day?
I graduated. That's what I got you.
It's pretty good.
Oh, you? Yeah, you didn't really graduate. You kind of just left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're like, I'm going to move from one warehouse to another warehouse. It's a little bigger. I won't do any projects. Zclip.com, 15% off. Use the promo code Adam. So what I was saying is when I then have to go do something like the match game, they got the clock ticking, and I'm trying to figure out how to spell super simple words. And I'll tell you something I found. We make a joke about like how dumb actors are, comedians are, whatever. They're educated. If they may be dumb about building stuff, they're pretty educated people.
Yeah, like they're dialed in intellectually.
You take somebody, your average comedian actor is a much better speller. Like right. Jimmy's an incredible speller, and he'll like correct you on your punctuation, your spelling, like all the time. Like they're not dumbos. No. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple. Like I don't know how good Tracy Morgan is at conjugating verbs, but. For the most part, when you sit with these actresses, especially like a lot of the, like, Cheryl Hines or someone like that.
Sure. Curb.
They're smart, man. I mean, they're like good. They all went to college and they lock in their answers, zip, zap, zoop, and pop. And then you're just sitting there going, oh, there. T-H-E-R-E. Oh, wait. Why? Why apostrophe? No. R apostrophe.
I better just combine them all just to be safe.
And I'm left-handed, so it's so ugly. And I'm sitting there, and you're going to have to hold it up, and then everyone looks at it. And then Baldwin's like, bananas with four N's.
This is your worst nightmare.
It really
is. This is you going to the front of the class, only it's on national TV.
Yeah, and like them handing me chalk and going, put the schedule up on the board. Like,
G-U-R-L-S.
Now, that's... That part. The other part where you just sit there and get paid a bunch of money to crack wise is the easiest part in the world. All right. Do we have me and Stallone? Stallone.
So not only did you see Sylvester Stallone, you told him you had a dream about him. You told him the dream was you were going to shadow box with him, and let's see what happens.
Well, I talked to him for an hour.
Oh. You're shadowboxing to his face.
While wearing a lei.
Well, he takes... Oh, my God.
I can feel the wind.
The name ain't Mariah.
Yeah.
It's called Brain Damage.
Wow. You got so close to his face. Did you mean to do that?
I didn't get that close. Sonny knows how close I can get to someone's face, right, Sonny?
Oh, yeah.
I do it in Sonny's face all the time. It's the only thing that bothers Olga. No, stop it. I'm like, I'll never hit him. What if he moves? Like, that's
her. You know, big, not to move, right?
That's her big thing. Mm-hmm. You can see it at adamcarolla.com. Still, I talked to Stallone for an hour and a half.
Was that a bucket list moment, even though you just had the dream about it?
Yes, I think it was. And the dream still leaves it on the bucket list. All right. So that was Stallone. Maria was great. We saw Shatner and Tom Bergeron. Doing
That's
some name dropping. We went over to the Equestrian Center and said hi, Shatner. I will say this. Shatner, I'm trying to figure out how much of this is what, but Shatner's 87 years old.
It's insane.
He is so vibrant. He's 87. You walk into this big Equestrian Center. He like, first off, he spots you from, 100 clicks and like waves you over, like waved. Secondly, he's got a huge plate of like barbecue, it's not like, I can't eat this anymore.
No.
I won't that disagree or that's spicy or something. No, no. He's a big pile of thing. He's fast, funny, lucid, like, he's telling me about where he lives and about how Waze has now got everyone channeling down his street. And he's talking about watching football, and we had this funny conversation where he's like, hey, I got a big screen, and we invite everyone over. And I'm like, well, I got a bigger screen, and we invite everyone over my place. And Bergeron's like, I don't know whose house to go to watch football. And turns out he's talking about Monday night football.
Oh, so you can go to both.
And so you can go to both. He's drinking a beer. He's making jokes. There is no, he's not searching. He's not like, he remembers where I saw him and he's coming over and podcasting and blah, blah. He's 87.
It's unreal. And you don't feel like you have to patronize him in any way.
There is no, literally, and I'm going to stop saying literally, there's no difference between 37 and 87 for him.
Right.
He just talks. He knows who everyone is. He makes jokes. He's on point. He's on subject. When he's busting your chops, he's hearing what you just said and kind of like pushing it back at you. It's unknowable how old he is when you sit next to him.
And he's looked the exact same for 30 years. That's his face.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. That's so pound for pound. Now, take the shadow boxing with Stallone out of it. Mm. Which part of the night was more exciting?
Stallone's always great because he's telling you every story. He's also, you know, he's doing Creed 3 and he's doing Rambo 5.
Did he ask you to pick the selects for Creed 3?
No, but he was giving me a little inside skinny on who's doing what and how this guy's not good and that guy needs to be fixed and blah, blah, blah. And it's insane. It's just insane. Anyway.
That's awesome. And was Vin there?
Oh, Vin Diesel showed up right. We got a great picture of Vin Diesel.
On brand face.
And Matt DeAndrea there. We'll put that up too. Vin Diesel. I knew. Lynette's out of town. Olga's babysitting. I had an early morning and bunch of work to do. I was planning on just like Ubering back or whatever. I talked to Stallone so long that I realized I'd been there for 2 hours and I'd had one drink. And I thought, oh, at a certain point, I was like, I think I could just get out of here in a half hour. And then Stallone splits. So I was like, all right. So I got on and then Vin showed up right after I left, according to Matt. So we'll talk to you a little more about that. Sonny, how you doing? Brian's brain surgeon was there. Both
what?
His oncologist and his brain surgeon.
Oh, my God.
Well, it makes sense because they work on Maria's tumor as well.
Right.
Talked to him for a long time about NSNG. And they're like, oh, yeah. I mean, his oncologist is like, oh, I'm on it.
Really? So he
absolutely.
Gets it?
Absolutely. Everybody now gets
it. Wow.
Everyone gets it. Speaking of gets it. So everything we talk about, everything we complain about, everything that gets discussed, then everyone gets it 2 years later. Guess who's coming out with a red interior in their Tesla X? Remember I did 20 minutes on how it's insane that Tesla doesn't offer a red interior?
How
a company that's just on the cutting edge, the vanguard of design and aesthetic and stuff, and how insanely beautiful a red interior looks on a white car, and Mama's got the Tesla X, right, Sonny? And we got the white interior, which is fine. Looks cool, but red would be killer.
Amazing.
Well, everyone's tweeting me now. Oh, they're coming out with a red interior.
They heard you. They heard your plea.
I never believe that. I never believe that. I believe that I have the curse of being able to spot things that are wrong in advance. And then at some point, eventually, everyone it spots it. And then they correct it. That's how it works. That's how it'll work with Milgaard sliding doors as well. You have that picture, Max Pata? We've seen it before. But it breaks my heart. I weep for my Tesla X because it looks so killer with a red interior on the white. How killer does that look, Sonny?
It's very cool. Wow.
Why Tesla, of all companies, doesn't offer that? And I'm 10 days into a 3-year lease with the white interior, which looks fine, but not nearly as cool as that. No. And guess what? Exact same amount of work, exact same price. Could have had a red interior.
Makes no sense. And you guys, that's a testament to your family, though. White interior with two kids and a giant black lab. That's trust.
Yeah, we don't care.
Oh, sweet.
It's more about not caring. Phil got sick. Phil's been yakking and seizuring.
Did he eat a shoe?
No, he's swallowed a big bone and it's been in his stomach, and I have to wrestle with him so he won't throw up on the carpet. And then Lynette has pieced together another piece of hard science, which is me trying to push him off the shag carpet and onto the tile to throw up is causing him to have a seizure. I don't think would stand the scientific scrutiny.
Does it stress him out real bad?
He gets into a locked off position when he starts to yak, and then I wake up at 4:30 in the morning and I see him starting to yak on white shag, and I start trying to just get him over to the tile, and he won't move.
He's too heavy.
And he's locked in.
How much does he weigh? Because my dog's 17 pounds, so he's old and has all the same problems, but I can pick him up and put him wherever I want.
He is 7.9 of your dog's.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of dog.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Hmm?
He's 7.9?
Wait, how much you dog? No, he's more like...
No, he's like... He's
point.
Like,
he's 6.1.
He can do this in his head.
Between 5.9 and 6.1 of your dog.
Does that check out for you, Sonny?
Well, I don't know. Not really.
Yeah, he's...
No.
Like,
we haven't done that math at school. Mm-hmm. But, well, he's like 108 pounds.
I got 6.3 of your dogs.
Thank you for keeping him honest, mm-hmm. Sonny.
All right, Sonny, when are you going to put a little weight on, boy? You're too skinny.
What?
Yeah, okay.
You know what? He's going to do just fine in middle school if I may be so shallow. Because he's good looking. Look at that hair. Look at those big eyes.
I know.
He'll be
everyone
fine. He doesn't need to learn.
I know. He can skate by on looks. And he's like me. He's hot because he doesn't know it.
But now I know it because he just said it.
All right.
Now it's ruined.
This kid, by the way, we went out to the APL Steakhouse on Friday night to celebrate my birthday.
It was really good.
Oh, my God. How about, what's your favorite part of that place?
The felony knives.
Get into your mic, Sonny. Stay on your mic.
The felony knife.
The felony knife.
Explain the concept of the felony knife.
Okay, so a felony knife is, the reason why it's called a felony knife, it's a super sharp knife that is used to cut steak. And why it's called the felony knife is it's $250.01.
Hold on.
To use to cut your steak. They don't give it to everyone. You have to pay an extra $950 to use it. And if you stole it, it would be a felony.
Whoa! No. That's what it's worth $950.
Yes.
Adam took
and
us.
And 1 cent.
The owner, Adam Perlank, took us down to the basement and showed us how he sharpens the knife. First off, everybody. Okay, what everyone responds to is precision and obsession.
Right.
It's a great steak, but steaks are good everywhere. His is a cut above, pardon the pun. But it's really, I realize what we love, what you love about Ferrari and Porsche, and it's what you love about Adam Perry Lang is precision.
Right.
An obsession and a precision. But I will say this. Having a steak knife that is not serrated, smooth, but so sharp and so fine that you just cut right through your steak, it's a pleasure. So it's like normally you saw through your steak. Like they give you a steak knife. It's like this thing's got big old teeth
tines
on it.
And
you can go at it.
Yeah.
It's serrated. And you realize like, all right, that's fine. But it's actually much more enjoyable just to slice through it.
That tactile. And how long do you think it's going to be, and I hate to say this, but how long do you think it's going to be before somebody accidentally stabs themselves or cuts themselves because they're not paying attention?
It has to happen. Now, the reason it's called a felony knife, and I'll misquote it a little bit, whatever, is it's worth $950, which gets you from a misdemeanor to a felony in terms of theft and possession. So
that's
obviously,
awesome.
if I steal your ball cap, that's a misdemeanor.
Yeah, but settle in people's court.
But if you steal your car, that's different.
Is there an extra charge to use the knife?
No, they just bring it out to you and like they present it to you in a wooden case.
Did you try it, Sonny?
Wait, I thought it said that it was $950 to use.
You
that's
said
crazy.
No, you said that at the table, and then I said, no, nut job. Well, you're not going to pay $950 to use a knife. It's worth $950 in case someone tries to steal it. Yeah.
It said, I don't know, it just had all the prices next to, like, what you could order.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, like, it said felony knife ask to use, and then it said $950.01. And
which makes it a felony.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Did you use the knife? Did you try it?
Yes.
And you liked it?
Yes.
All right.
And that's like I explained to him. He's already peaked. You've peaked at just shy of 12.
Yes.
Can't do any better. I mean, when I was his age, I was watching commercials for Sizzler going, what is this Malibu chicken?
How do you butterfly a shrimp?
What exactly is langostino? And what kind of world would I have to live in where one day I got to sample the delights of Malibu chicken? Steak and Malibu chicken? Ooh. Then I start thinking about scenarios. Well, maybe if I get on to death row.
It can never be that you
I have a last request. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you what's not on the table. My dad takes me to Sizzler and orders steak and Malibu chicken, or this langostino business. But, I mean, sure, I've seen Sizzlers from the outside. I don't know who's rich enough to go into a Sizzler, though. And if so, I could see you ordering a burger, and then maybe a steak, but not steak and Malibu chicken. I still don't know what Malibu chicken. I think it was just like a chicken breast with some kind of like Thousand Island dumped on
it. That's disgusting.
Or it was like a piece of American cheese like melted on it. Look up Sizzler steak and Malibu chicken.
You know what? Not ever having been to a Sizzler is a great rich man, poor man.
Yes. Yes.
Sonny, have you been to a Sizzler?
I think so.
I doubt it.
He just had the best steak. He literally just had the best steak you can have.
Everything else is going to be gray meat slabs.
You can purchase.
That looks disgusting.
What is the definition of Malibu chicken?
We're just looking at a picture. It looks like a possible deep fried and maybe spicy chicken patty with a square of sad, oily white cheese over the top.
Way too rich for the Corolla Bloods. Like, that was way too highfalutin for us. All right. Oh, it's got ham and cheese on the chicken. All right.
It's like a cordon bleu situation.
All right. Let me jump on line five over here. Brandon, 37, San Antonio.
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's going on?
I think I heard you touch one time on this topic. You complained a little bit about it, but I've never really heard you go into it. But there's a website, you know, a subreddit called Are We Want Plate? And it's basically, you go to a fancy restaurant, you know, you order something, and they serve it on something that's not a plate, and it's just ridiculous. I was hoping.
Like a cutting board or something.
Well, like when
you should be so lucky.
when I remember, like, the worst meals, thanks, line's a little bad, the worst meals you ever have is the highfalutin. So the best you'll have is you go to the best Mexican you can find, and they do authentic Mexican, the best.
Right.
Like, so what we did is we had the best steak, and then we had, like, the best mashed potatoes.
Right, the basics, but really the best.
Sonny had the big spoon, the big serving spoon, was just holding it under his face like a trough and just killing it at the end. The best cream spinach, right. French onion soup, the best. But here's the thing. Just the best version of all those things will then shrimp cocktail, the best.
Oh, that was really good.
Oh,
to argue with this asswipe over who got the last shrimp. They do three. Like, they gave us three shrimp, and Lynette was out, but Sonny was in, and Natalia wasn't there. And I took a bite of the shrimp. I was like, the best. And then Sonny starts reaching for the third one. I'm like, slow your roll, Buck. I was like, and he always knows his mom. His mom's going, leave him alone. He's going to die if he doesn't have more shrimp. Like, he knows he get his mom. His mom is always like, he'll die. His blood shrimp levels are dangerously low. He's going to eat more shrimp.
Blood shrimp level.
He knows.
He needs more iodine stat.
Oh, my God. Like, but here's the point. Here's me point. This is a steakhouse. They're not reinventing.
This is how we do French onion.
Things on the menu. There's French fries. It's done in duck fat. The best. God. Like, what I'm saying is the mashed potatoes are mashed potatoes. The best. That shrimp cocktail. The best. So you just do what everyone does. Then you do it the best.
Right.
Now, when you go up to wine country and you go to like highfalutin hotel, and Jimmy took me and Daniel and Kellison, Uncle Buzzaboo, as Sonny knows him, and he took Dickie from the Boston. He took us all there for our 50th birthday. And Cousin Sal's there and everyone. We're sitting around, and they're doing that thing where it's like all presentation, right, and all sample. And they're bringing everything out, the big, right, presentation. Like, at some point, Cousin Sal is eating the plate made of rock salt because he doesn't know. Like, we're trying to, like, and he's like, what the
hell? Too salty.
He's like spitting it out. It's like, yeah, I don't know what was on it. There was like a flower bud on top of it, and then it's sitting on top of a rock. I don't know who truly appreciates this. Like, we just went out, and we just had the best goddamn steak you could have with the best goddamn experience you, right, could have. And then there's times, there's a, you know, Mexican place by our house called La Cabanine. We just go in there and just get some great mole, Mexican, whatever. Like, it's great. Like, we all know that.
And the experience isn't diminished because it didn't come out in a clown suit, you know, shoe.
We go, who wants the thing that's like all presentation? And they're like going, oh, you can eat petals from this flower. And it's like, I guess you can, but where's the stuff? Where, I want a rib. Like, does anyone fully appreciate that, or are they just kind of doing it in front of you?
Well, you'd never do it at home. I think it's to show other people, you know, how fancy it is.
It's the least satisfying dining experience ever. Like, it's just, yeah, everyone just has to go back to the room and order burger and fries. Like, when you're done, it just, it comes out in these, it trickles out, mm-hmm, in waves. Everything is way too small. Most of the stuff you hate, there's like three things that you can kind of tolerate. And the three things you kind of tolerate are the things that are closest to stuff you like. Like, that's kind of like a slider.
Right.
Like, it's done with duck meat, but, yep, it's a slider. So it's kind of good. I wish we were at TGI Fridays and I could get a regular slider, but this is Friday. This one, and that cheese kind of tastes like cheese I like, but not really.
But you can't say that because it's so freaking expensive.
Sal ate the salt. We tried to eat like the salt dish it was on. I can't stand any of that. Sorry.
What about the sushi or Japanese place that all your food comes out on a giant two-scale pirate ship with different levels and a little flag?
I don't know. Is that good? Is that like the Ferrells of sushi?
It's a little embarrassing when that comes out, in my opinion. Chris, sushi, you know what I'm talking
sushi
about.
Sushi is a good example of when you go...
A lot of pineapple.
When you go super hardcore, high-end sushi, they're like, we don't do rice. And then you go, oh, how about soy sauce? And it's like, that's an attack.
Yeah.
And it's like,
ugly American.
All right, what are we down to now? Like, I can't, it's just like, I can't eat my next pelican's beak full of raw fish. Like, it just literally, like, at a certain point, you got to go, like, just give me a little bowl of rice on the side. Like, I won't really eat it. I just want to look at it. Yeah. Like it gets so hardcore. Yep. I don't believe, I am with me when I say good sushi, but rolled up into something with some rice and stuff, you can't do better than that for me. When you get the hardest of the hardcore and it's just like pure sashimi, mm-hmm, and no kikkoman or anything,
no,
like at a certain point, it's like it's too hardcore.
Yeah, there's no such thing as the customer's always right at sushi restaurants.
Let's see. Let me talk to Cindy, 49, L.A. Works at Institute of Higher Learning. They aren't allowed to say guys. And oh, yeah. What's going on there, Cindy?
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Long-time fan. I've been listening to you since old K-Rock days on when you were Mr. Burcham.
Thank
and
you.
And I absolutely loved you. I actually thought you were really a Mr. Burcham for a very long time. So,
well, it was confusing because I knew the subject well.
It was confusing. And I had a woodshop teacher at a local high school that his name was very close to Burcham.
Mm-hmm.
And you sounded exactly like my woodshop teacher.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
The funny thing about Burcham and me not being able to spell and Jimmy knowing how to spell, the first time I went in, I just wrote down like a piece of paper, like Mr. Burcham was a made-up name for a fake high school teacher, and Jimmy corrected my spelling. Jimmy like got in and went, What are you, how are you spelling that? I was like, Bircham, B-U-R-C. And he's like, no, B-I-R-C-H, you know, like birch, like the wood. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's how you spell it.
he literally
That's great.
Corrected spelling on a word that doesn't exist.
That you made up.
I made up a word and I was wrong on how to spell it. That's how bad my spelling is. Right?
Your assistant Jay has a great...
You should be able to spell it.
Sorry, my assistant Jay. What?
So he has a great story about him finding a note back when he used to work for you. It was a buck slip, and on it said HY-FEN. And he's like, what is this note? And you're like, oh yeah, what is a hyphen? You asked him, and not only did you spell it wrong, you had a hyphen in the word that you're wondering what it was.
What are the odds? That's so beautiful.
Thank you, Cindy.
Yes.
I don't know why I made a note to ask Jay what a hyphen was.
With a hyphen in it.
But anyway, Cindy, go ahead.
So I wanted your opinion on, I work at a local institute of higher education, and after I heard you using that phrase, like, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Kind of stuck. Yeah, it was stuck in my head for a couple weeks, and I was saying it in my head, which is really dumb and shows you how much I listen to you, but... I said it to someone.
Thank you.
I had seen a couple of administrators, and I was like, hi, guys. And later I was pulled aside, and I was told that I shouldn't address people by, you know, the pronoun of guys, that it could be very offensive to people.
I don't know what a pronoun is, but I get it. Let me ask Assistant Jay what a pro
hyphen
noun is.
Noun. N-O-W-N.
Obviously, it's right a down noun that left college early chasing the money. But go ahead.
I was told that I should say hi, theys.
I don't
theys.
Okay,
theys.
Couple of things. Language police, you guys, please kill yourselves. I have no idea what your plan is. I don't know anyone who's successful who polices people in their language
right.
or walks around and corrects people all day. This everything is intent to me. I don't care about the words you choose. I want to know what kind of person you are, what you mean by it. If you're a person that's saying, hi, guy, I don't want anyone going, that's funny, I know you're nice, I know you don't mean anything. Hold your ears. Take your earphones off. If you get into me where you go, look, I know you don't mean any offense, and I know you're not trying to start a problem, and I understand you don't mean me to be offensive to people, but let me just jump in at this point and go, shut the fuck up. If you say that, and then it's like, but
right.
you already had me. Shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear the rest of what's coming out of your fucking hole. Shut up.
Right.
That's Let like, me get look, on with I, my goddamn life.
That's like, look, I have as good a sense of humor as the next guy, but...
Yeah, shut up. Go kill yourself at that point with your whoopee cushion, you asshole. Everyone with their... You know, I just thought you should know. Like, I'm not offended. Good. Then get the hell out. Then go kill yourself somewhere else. Like, I'm not offended, but shut the fuck up. Sorry, Sonny. You're not offended, but now kill yourself. I don't want to hear what's coming out of your mouth next. I don't want to hear about, there's a hypothetical world. Where's Thor from, Sonny? Where's he from? Asgard?
Where's Thor from?
Yeah, I'm not offended, but there's people from Asgard that could be very offended by these kinds of pronouns and statements. Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up
and get back to your zero of a life, would you, with your loveless relationship and your kids that are all scared to tell you they're struggling with their sexuality. Yes, Sonny.
Speaking of spelling and policing words, how do you spell vase? V-A-Y-S? Is that because they said hi, vase? That...
Yeah, Cindy, is it vase with a V or vase with a T-H?
I didn't really inquire too deep. I was really baffled by the whole thing, and I really wanted to say exactly what Adam was just ranting about, but since I was in a work environment, I kind of just
it's a wonderful world we've crafted in 2018. We've decided that everything goes. Like, hey man, you want to marry your sister? Marry your sister. You want to use five bathrooms. You want to smoke weed in the third bathroom because you've announced you have a different sexual proclivity. Fine. Everything's fine. Like, everything's cool. Everything is, hey, live your own truth. Do your own thing. Hey, if you're not hurting anybody until you start talking and now we got to get you fired. It's kind of a weird message, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, smoke your pot, live in your third bathroom, marry whoever, become transgender, or don't do anything and just identify as something else. Do whatever you want all the time with a joint in your hand. But you better watch it if you're going to say hi, guys, to a group of people that has men and women in it. Which is it?
Yeah, it's specific tolerance.
Are we crazy Orwellian, Hitlerian, or we let your freak flag fly, do whatever you want, Woodstock? Like, what is it? At least Woodstock was consistent. But say, everyone's just getting naked, roll around in the mud, say whatever you want. Now we're like, Woodstock meets we're burning books.
Yeah.
And you're going to a gulag. Like, literally, you start talking, and you're not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
Pretty weird dual message, right?
It's a fine line.
It really is.
Yeah. All right. Let's tell the person that, you know what I like to do, by the way? Here's my move. Yeah. You ready?
Yes.
When the person is opening their mouth, and this drivel is spilling out of it, you do my power move, which is I just walk away. Like, when people come up to me, I've told you, they'll come up to me like the party and go, hey, man, do you remember me? And I'll go, no, but I meet a lot of people, so what's your name again? You don't remember when we met?
You don't remember me.
No, but I literally meet people every single day, and I'm not good with that memory, so what's your name? You don't remember? And I just go, no, I don't say no for a third time. I start walk. I just leave.
Good.
I just leave. So I do the same thing. If somebody says to me, did you feed the dog? And I go, yes, I fed the dog. So you fed him? You know what my answer is?
If some random person
asked. I just left the room. Yeah.
Because according to your math, we can go on for infinity. According to your math, we can just keep going with, so you don't remember it? No, I don't. So you don't remember it? No, you don't remember where you were when you met? This will go on for infinity.
Right. That's
I'm
part of the
leaving.
Game.
Here's the deal about me. I actually feel like my time's semi-important. That's why I don't stop middle-aged women in the hall and coach them up on their verbiage, because it's a waste of my time.
Yeah.
It wastes my time.
And also the sick part of that is if you walk away, you're the rude one.
And if you think you get something out of coaching up young Cindy over here, then you're a bad person. Because you should not get any feeling about that. You should dread having to do that. Cindy?
Thank you. Especially when it was someone that observed the conversation and not someone I was actually speaking to.
You should just walk away. And I would just tell people, if they want to know, like, where are you going? I'd be like, look, if you have something important that has to do with the kids or the education or policy or something important, I'm all ears. But I'm busy.
This is
like, I'm at work. Thanks. Here's the deal. Everyone needs to take a stand. That's the whole thing. Everyone can't just go like, oh, my God, you're right. I'm gonna alter my whatever now. All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Sonny, you got your sports beat ready?
Yeah.
It's all up here. It's all in his head.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
You want me to start?
He said he wrote it down on his phone.
Yeah, but I got it.
He's got it.
You got it in your head?
Don't worry about him.
All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Oh, they obsess over the details. Like, nowhere the company that came up with the privacy shutter. For the security camera to protect the privacy when you're at home, away, control it from your phone, man. Your smartphone can't do it all up in your head. Sometimes you got to get that phone out. Metal shutters can break, and Simply Safe needed something that worked more than 10,000 times. For the life of the camera, it tested different metals, hinges, designs. For months, the result, a thin, lightweight aluminum privacy shutter. Simply Safe, it's different. They do home security right. Learn more today at simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. I'm going to give it a try. simplysafe.com/Adam. These guys are a great company. We use it. Everyone here uses it. Simply Safe. All right, Sonny.
Yeah.
You got some sports?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's the future of the NBA.
Yes, the future of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the future of the NBA, I think that it's going to be very exciting, and I'm going to be talking about who's going to dethrone the Warriors and the Cavs, because I think we're all getting sick of Cavs and Warriors for the fourth time in a row. It's time for the Rockets and the Celtics.
You've been on the planet for 11 years. How can you be sick of anything?
That's how terrible it is.
That's how terrible it is.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm going to start off, I think that the future best player in the NBA is going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. Try spelling that, Dad.
Sound it out.
I'm having trouble with Dad.
Okay, so he's on the Milwaukee Bucks. He plays small forward, and they're trying to put him in as point guard, even though that he is roughly 7 feet tall. He's 6'11". He's huge. And if he is point guard, then he's going to be the tallest point guard of all time. But his athletic ability is very impressive. If you've seen highlights of him, then I think he won Dunk of the Year by jumping over a man.
What's his nickname?
Greek Freak, because he's Greek. And the reason why they call him the Freak
It's not so he didn't like cultured yogurt? Let me write that down. Because he's Greek, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's Greek, and the Freak part comes from his hands are 12 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Big. They're huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's him on the board.
That's not who I pictured. That's
no, he's a Greek guy. He's a black guy.
Yeah.
Who's Greek.
All right.
All right. Does he have an accent?
I don't know. He has a 7 foot. He has a 7'6" wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not know this. A lot of people don't know this about him, but he's a guy that wants to win because he is very extremely competitive. He every single time the Milwaukee Bucks leave a home, lose a home game. If they lose a game at home, then he will go back to the gym and be there for till 4 a.m. Sometimes. Maybe won't even go home, just replaying the game and things that he could have done better.
I love that. I love that you love that.
He's a very big work ethic for basketball.
I'm a little disappointed because when Sonny's playing his video games now, he doesn't want me on the mic.
What?
I say don't go on
Fortnite,
the mic.
Fortnite. He plays Fortnite. I come in there like every 20 minutes. I'm like, you need me on that blower.
I'm playing solo, so there's no reason for
still
him.
Need
he needs to practice.
Verbal emotional support.
Yeah, like the Greek Freak.
Yeah, okay.
I just don't appreciate being shooed away all the time.
Okay.
Does it mess up your game when he comes on and it's multiplayer and is he screwing you up with all that?
No.
Oh, good. Okay, he's focused.
Yeah.
Well, then why not?
Well, no, I play solo and I'm by myself and then you're like coming in and there's really no point.
Well, listen, I'll let you listen to it. We'll see what you think. Yeah, I don't appreciate being shooed away.
I feel like more on my NBA.
All right, hold on. I'm just saying I don't want to be shooed out of my own house. Yeah.
Dad's coming back.
Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. What's your 20? Who's got my 6? We got bad guys. 12 o'clock. I'm under fire. I need a medevac chopper in here. Stat. Lay down some suppression cover. Give me that dead warthog. Lay down some suppression cover. Who's got my 6? This is Alpha, Charlie, Bravo, Charlie, Daniels, Jack Daniels, Charlie, leader. Raven, Snowman, you there? You got your ears on? Snowman, ears on. Who's got my 6? What's your 20?
Let him talk.
Dad, I'm dying. Jack, you gotta
kill. We got perps down there. Someone lay down suppression fire. Who's got my 6? 11 o'clock, perps. Suppression fire. It's calling the warthouse. Where's the tank busters?
I died.
Tank busters, where are you? What's your 20?
Sonny, if you can concentrate during that, you could do anything.
Okay.
That's
so
impressive.
I've been told.
Yeah.
I like how Sonny has to warn his friends, my dad's coming.
They don't appreciate it either. I don't know what's wrong with these kids.
Okay, well, back to the NBA.
All right. All right.
So the reason why I brought up the
Greek
Freak.
See what it's like in my house?
Wow.
The reason why I brought up the Greek Freak in the Milwaukee Bucks is because I think that they have a future from not only the Greek Freak, but from Kemba Walker, who's also on the Hornets. So, Michael Jordan, the owner of the Hornets, it said that he's not going to trade Kemba Walker unless it's a star or a rising star. The Milwaukee Bucks have, I think it's a rookie or a second-year player, who's doing really good. He got injured a little bit this year, but he's still very good. He was in the Rising Stars game. Malcolm Brogdon.
We're not going to correct you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Brogdon. And I think he's going to do good in the future of the NBA. As well as the Milwaukee Bucks have some other good players, such as Eric Bledsoe, who's doing not bad, but he's doing good. He used to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have Matthew Dellavedova, who was the good defender and a good passer, and in the NBA Finals when he was on the Cavs, he was guarding Curry, and Curry was getting absolutely shut down and was doing horrible.
Well, who's going to step up? What team? The Bucks are going to step up?
Bucks, because if they
next year?
Next year or in 2 years.
All right,
if they get this Kemba Walker trade.
All right, so your prediction is that we can look for the Bucks to get in the mix as the Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors, so it's not always just Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors. All right.
And more is that the Celtics might do good. They did really good this year without Gordon Hayward. And imagine they had Gordon Hayward again.
Hold on. Let me close my eyes. Okay. Now I've just imagined it. Gordon Hayward.
Much better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So the only reason why I think that they didn't go to the finals was because they didn't have Kyrie Irving when they went against the Cavs, or else they probably would have beat them. And they were still up 3-2 at one point, but then the Cavs beat him twice in a row. But there was really no knowing with the Cavs. You couldn't really say that the Celtics were going to win for sure because the Cavs swept the Toronto Raptors.
Who's going to win? Who's going to win the series now?
Warriors, I think. But I want the Cavs to win because I'm sick of the Warriors.
Yeah.
Sick of both of them, but I'm more sick of the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Warriors are going to win. But I want the Cavs to win.
This is very impressive.
He's an
encyclopedia.
He's a pretty sharp little dude.
You
have to be good at something.
And when you do fantasy football he rattled all this off the top of his head. Is there a sport that's easier to do that with than others, or you just love sports?
Well, I mainly know football and basketball. I'm not very big on baseball or hockey or soccer.
I wonder where that came from.
Well, he knows soccer sucks.
It does.
And now he also, it's like I was telling him in the kitchen today, I said, all right, you talk sports. Oh, and then I said, oh, we also have to talk APL, which is the dinner.
Steakhouse.
I said, we also have to talk APL. And he's like, Adrian Peterson?
No, this is the one mistake I made.
That's not a mistake.
No, it's awesome.
You're right. We were on the subject of sports, and we were talking about sports. I went, oh, and also we got to talk APL or something like that, which was still, he was still
was
on
context.
Sports.
Yeah,
right.
It was great.
Yeah, that's
right.
Why I said Adrian Peterson, because I thought you made a mistake
right.
Because you were thinking about the steak.
I got you.
A mistake because you were thinking of the steak. I don't know
good.
If I said that.
Good. Now go get me
amazing.
A switch.
A big one.
All right, let me tell you about Dollar Shave Club. Love these guys. Dollar Shave Club. They deliver everything you need to look and feel and smell your best. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, hair gel, even the butt wipes. I'm a big fan of the Dr. Carver Shave Butter. It really does change shaving. So smooth, so creamy. The razor glides along your face. And I just used it yesterday. I was getting gussied up for the party. Got the new cartridge in there. Got Dr. Carver Shea Butter, all products made with top shelf ingredients that work and it won't break your budget. And the worst is being out of cartridges or being out of anything, and you won't be without or out. You'll have Dollar Shave Club, plus shipping's included with your membership. How about it, Dawson?
Here's a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products. For just $5, you can get their Daily Essentials Starter Set. It comes with Body Cleanser, One Wipe Charlie's, their amazing butt wipes, their world-famous shave butter, and their best razor, the 6-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month. Add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else you need for the bathroom. Check it all out at DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Adam.
All right. I'm doing my first stand-up special on Saturday in Portland. All these years, I've never done a stand-up special. One more thing for us to not watch as a family, Sonny, when it comes out on Netflix one day.
Yeah, listening now.
Doing a stand-up special in Portland, Aladdin Theater. It's cool. It's like we're dressing it and lighting it and getting the camera guys and getting the monitors.
Is the whole fam
stuff.
Going?
Oh, they huh?
Oh, just figured everybody was going to support you.
I don't know. Sonny, would you consider yourself a fan?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
You appreciate some of my humor, right?
Yes.
Some of it.
Some of it.
That's why you're the class comedian and not the class clown.
Right.
Because of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
how much input did you have in like what the look is going to be, and do you know what you're going to wear already? Like, are you thinking about that stuff?
I was starting to think about like, did I get a suit? Do I do this? Well, there are a couple things. As far as the look, I just want it to look nice, but I don't want it to be distracting. You know, we'll do it mostly with lighting. We'll have a big like 100-inch monitor up on stage for the visual stuff and all that kind of stuff. As far as this the look goes, when I get off a stage after doing 95 minutes, my body's wet. Right. Like I sweat through my shirt. And so I realize that, strangely, it's a weird thing. I think it trickles down. The wettest part of my body is the inside of my elbows, the shirt. The shirt's like wet. Like I think I just stand up there. You just stand up there and sweat for like 90 minutes.
Well, and if you're holding the mic at an angle, you're going to get that anyway.
Maybe that's it. So I realized that if you're going to do a show like this, you can't go out there in like a burgundy dress shirt because you'll have big black sweat on your chest and under your arms and blah, blah, blah. So you have to pick like black or white or dark or something. You have to pick something that you can basically sweat through and not show big, big fat sweat mark.
That is so smart of you to realize, because the fact that you even said that, I have noticed that on so many people's stand-up specials, and not only is it distracting, but like I kind of start judging them without meaning to.
It's a little also continuity thing, which is if you'd like, you do two shows, right, you're going to pick stuff from this show and that show. Well, what if, I don't know, on one of them you had a big sweat thing on your chest or whatever under your arm, and then the other joke it was back to not so much sweat. Like you can't really toggle back and forth with the sweat, so...
So are you going super cash, or are you going to wear a sport coat?
I started with, I'm going to get a nice suit. Now I'm into a sweater and jeans. I'm working on it. And I'm putting together the set list and, you know, the timing and the whole, you know. It's exciting.
I know you're nervous, because in the sense that you're preparing and you're thinking about it, and that's all great. Is there any part of you that's like, it's just too overwhelming, or you're really looking forward to this and to looking forward to the challenge? Because I ask because I get very nervous to the point where I end up getting a little depressed, because I'm like, how am I going to do this?
Sunny splitting. Sunny, where are you going?
Oh, bye, Sunny.
I don't know. I thought...
Thought you're done?
Yeah.
He felt like...
Well, hang on. We're going to a commercial here. We're taking a break here.
He hung up his headphones. But you're ready to do this.
I'm ready to do it.
This is so cool.
And I'm ready to go, and I'm looking forward to it. And the second show still has tickets. We'll find out. I'll get a count from Max Better. First show is sold out. Second show still has tickets. So come on out. We're going to film this thing. So it's going to be awesome. That'll be this Saturday. Also, Uppity is available for pre-order, and it would be very helpful if you guys would go to Chassis, Chassy. I believe that's the correct spelling for the word chassis. And pre-order it. It's coming out in July. It's really strong. And I came up with a hashtag, See Willy.
Oh, that's good.
It's like Free Willy, but See Willy. S-A-E. I don't know what that'll do. Yeah. All right. Sonny, what are you going to do? You going to hang out for the news and the rest?
Sure. I don't know.
He probably has a ball to throw in the air and in the lobby.
You want
to
go kick your ball around? Yeah. All right, go kick your ball in a circle.
So predictable.
And then Phil gets hold of the ball, and then he starts screaming for Olga to yell at Phil.
Sonny, why don't you handle your own business?
Yeah, handle your own business.
Phil doesn't listen to me. Olga's the only one that Phil listens to.
In the whole family?
Yes, the whole family.
Yeah, because she kicks him in the ribs when he doesn't listen. That's why he listens to her.
Nobody else? Do you try and reason with him? Mm-hmm. See, the reason I need that ball back, Phil, doesn't work.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with good sports right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. Good sports. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sports. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the newest episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, let's get right to it. The issue that people are still buzzing about days after the fact, Han Solo's movie or Infinity War? No! Jay, although, will you ever see either one of those movies? Or
no.
Have you already? No.
No.
No. Okay.
Well, with a title like Infinity War, I feel like I can watch that at almost any time. Because it's just like the Never-Ending Story. I haven't seen it yet.
They
it
overthought that one, right?
Came out in 86, but I feel like
themselves.
It's a story that never ends. I can show up any time I like.
No, yeah. No wonder that movie hasn't done better at the box office. But no, what people are talking about, still back on, what was it, Thursday last week, the game one of the NBA Finals, LeBron with an all-time performance, 51 or 50? What?
51.
51. Shooting percentage about 60-65%. Everyone in the arena walking in before the game knew LeBron was the only dangerous player on the Cavs, and yet he still shoots a remarkable percentage. He carries the team to what would have been a great upset to start what could be a fascinating series. Instead, J.R. Smith rebounds it and doesn't know that, well, I don't know if he agrees with the universe's assessment that he clearly didn't know what the score was and that the game was tied, not that they were up 1 point.
Well, look, I've said it before. It's controversial, but I'll say it again. The black man doesn't have the emotional aptitude to play basketball. I've told you this off the air. I believe I've said it on the air. I think it's proven. Okay.
You're being feckless, Adam.
I don't think he knew. His story was he was taking the ball, clearing it, so he could call timeout or something. I think in his story, because I watched it, his story was like, I'm going to clear it, and
with 4 seconds left.
And, he thought LeBron was going to call a timeout. Now, I don't know how many points he scored during the game. I don't know why he didn't just go right on up. Obviously, if you know it's a tie score and you rebound the ball 3 feet from the hoop, that's, by the way, the good hoop. That's the hoop you want it to go in. Then you would immediately just go right back up and hopefully ball gets bandied about.
Why do people do that? I mean, we've talked about it in the past that we don't need after and since we had the conversation a week or two ago, we've had any number of further examples of people doing something wrong, then getting a bad public reaction from it, and then issuing a formal apology as though anyone's supposed to believe it. This is another weird thing of lying when we're all morons. No, JR, we buy that story.
Well, it's stupid or liars, what I like to say.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, and I do believe this, and I have had this argument with my wife before, which is when and employees, as Gary will attest, if you say something that's sort of implausible, it always begs a follow up question. If you said, oh, I knew it was tied, I was bringing the ball out so LeBron could call a timeout. Well, then that means you have no understanding of the game of basketball whatsoever, because you turning your back to the hoop and dribbling the other direction.
Bringing it out.
with now 2 seconds left in the game.
Why didn't you pass it to him? He was all by himself at the top of the key, if you were at
whatever
that
it is. So now we're getting into Stupider Liar. And then, and Gary, you can sort of check the transcript on his answer. But his answer was kind of like, I was bringing it out. I thought LeBron was calling timeout. Here's the problem. That then begs the problem that gets me into arguments with my wife, which is I then have follow-up questions. So let's work with your premise. You did know the score was tied. You did know there was 4.1 seconds. You did know you rebounded it in the key, 3 feet from the hoop. And with all this information, you decided to turn your back to the hoop and run toward the other hoop while the seconds melted away from the clock. And in fact, LeBron James didn't call a timeout and you didn't look at him and he didn't, or everyone looked confused. So if that's your story. Now, here's what I want to say to everyone all the time. If you simply say to me or to society, I had a brain fart, man.
Mm-hmm.
I came down with the ball. I just had a momentary lapse and I am sorry. And it was stupid. It was a lack of concentration. I don't know if it was the crowd, the heat of the moment, whatever it is. If I had it all to do over again, I would have went right back up with that ball or kicked it out to LeBron. And I essentially just screwed the pooch. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to all the fans. And it won't happen again. I think everyone immediately just goes home.
The best example of that I can think of in sports was amidst all the this guy's on the juice, that guy's on the juice in baseball, Barry Bonds, I'm not, no, I did not. How dare you suggest that? That I've doubled my muscle mass in 4 months. How dare you accuse me of that?
If I could turn my head and look you in the eye at this press conference, I would. But it turns out I cannot because
all
of my
these guys.
Head
oh, no, no. Don't you dare. I did not wagging fingers in front of Congress and so on. Amidst all that, you know who I legitimately think a lot of people don't even know was busted juicing was Jason Giambi, because as soon as he was caught, he said, yeah, they got me. Yeah, that was a mistake. I'm sorry about that. I'm embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, there is no stink on that guy whatsoever. Nobody could even tell you that he did it. That is a great example of just admit it and be done and move on.
Look.
And by the way, this is going to ruin the series for the Cavs.
Can I? This is a Lance Bass syndrome. We don't care that you're gay. We think you're gay, and you're telling us you're straight, and it's driving us nuts because we think something's wrong with our gaydar. Remember, there was 10 years of, that guy's gay. Come on, Lance Bass is gay. I saw him leave a club with Carson Daly and his arm around him. Now, at a certain point,
Carson Daly,
he's a friend. I can make fun of him. He's good looking.
Make him gay.
He's sexually potent.
Okay.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. All right. I didn't know the full story.
I'm not saying Carson was in on it.
No, but his arm was around him. So I thought he might have. Anyway, please continue.
John Travolta. The point is this. The second Lance Bass said, I'm gay, everyone went, oh, yeah, we knew that. And then they left.
Yeah.
No follow up question. Who you blowing, Lance? Over here. The Norfolk Carrier. And so you just go, my bad, brain fart. We've all made mistakes. And you add a little, I'm going to make it up to you in this series. And everyone goes home.
Mm-hmm.
You explain, oh, no, I knew with the clock. I was watching the clock. I knew the score. I was going to kick it out to LeBron. Gone.
It requires then an investigation. You're on to something because, right, for your own personal satisfaction and then sociologically, we all feel like, wait a second, your story doesn't check out. And then but somehow what's weird in 21st century, if you then follow up with, well, then why did this happen? Then you somehow are the jerk for badgering him.
The problem that all of you do, Gary's been on the winning and losing end of this, which is if you go, my bad, not going to happen again, we move on. If you're then start summoning an excuse, then the excuse, you can usually say, well, wait a minute, how did you know this guy or whatever? Like now, what you're doing is you're offering up another opportunity at furthering the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have something that's a killer excuse, by all means, bring it up. But his quote was, Gary,
I got the rebound, tie ball game, and we had a timeout. I tried to get enough space to maybe get off a shot. KD was standing right there. I tried to bring it out.
That's so ridiculous.
Get the space to get off a shot.
Didn't look like it.
Turned his back to the hoop and ran the other way.
Yeah. What a ridiculous. Why is he doing this,
KD was standing right there.
I tried to bring it out and get enough space to maybe get off a shot. I looked over at Braun, and he was looking like he was trying to call a timeout, so I stopped, and the game was over.
Okay, so this is my thing when people go, I wasn't drunk at the Christmas party. It's just, you know, the boss's wife is hot, and I asked if I could drop a digit on her. I didn't do it. I asked, and you go, please tell me you were drunk. It's much better for you. It's much better for you if you say I had a brain fart. If this is basketball strategy, you need to be removed from the court.
Yeah, then we can't possibly use you at clutch time ever again, JR, because you have no sense whatsoever.
You're trying to get some space for a shot that you never turned around to look for?
I mean, it just plain doesn't check out.
No, but look.
Sorry, JR.
There's no follow-up questions to brain fart, lost it, lack of concentration
in the
moment.
This is going to plague me forever, but I'm going to... And by the way, that's what causes the demise of an entire team. You know, that now there's distrust, and now they're... Right. Now they have no chance of winning
when
this series,
when he pulled
I
it, I don't know how tall he is, and I don't know what he scored. I don't know what he scored in the game.
I'm guessing he's 6'3".
If he could have...
6'6".
He's taller than that.
J.R. Smith is 6'6". Wow.
Could have gone right back up. Just got, in that particular case, get it up and off the board and hit the board with it, and let's just see what happens.
I mean, listen, all you have to do is turn around and lean into KD. He's going to foul you. That's
right,
the end of it.
Right.
Okay, you would go to the line. You would make one of two and say your good nights.
He had 10 points in the game last night.
All right.
Last week, you mean.
Last week.
Last week. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... I think we've learned a lot. And by the way, the first time you invoked that as an Adam Carolla historian, the first time, to my understanding, that you ever did Stupid or Liar was with Paula Abdul at the height of American Idol. She was like, I am not on prescription drugs. So then you're just naturally infirmed? Mentally. I always loved that. All right. Anyhow, more good sports coming at you tomorrow. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Sports!